Jones.
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar.
Here.
Councilmember McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And we'll begin with the invocation. We have Pastor Justin Sturgeon from New Beginnings Church. If you will rise, please.
Father, it's good that we can be here this morning, that we can be a part of a community like CUNA. Lord, as we begin discussions about the business of the city, I pray that your presence would be here, that you would give guidance and wisdom in making sound decisions, and that you would be glorified in this community. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I'll check the alphabet.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. So we have kind of a two-part agenda tonight. We'll begin by taking care of old business, and then we have to rotate positions up here and swear in a new council member, and then we'll continue on with the new business from there. So the first item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Does anyone have any comments on that or a motion to approve?
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Next, we have on the agenda, we want to present Councilmember Jones a plaque recognizing his service to the city. So we'll go ahead and do that. Pat, thank you very much for serving your community in the 4 years you have, and we appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Then did you want to do a speech? You can.
You've heard enough of me last 4 years.
All right, so the next thing we need to do is go ahead and swear on the newly elected officials. Richard Cardoza will be continuing to hold his seat, and then we will have Warren Christensen, who's taking Councilmember Jones' seat, step up next.
Support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Idaho, and that you will faithfully discharge the duties of Councilor of the City of CUNA according to the best of your ability.
This is only a 4-year sentence. Thank you. Warren? You tried this several times. You finally got here. Now be excited.
I want to see enthusiasm. Warren, do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Idaho, and that you will faithfully discharge the duties of Councilor of the City of CUNA according to the best of your ability?
All right, so we'll take a short recess, and we will change council seats, and Then we'll have to start all over and take roll again.
Don't forget your name tag, Todd. You need to take your placard and put it
on. Oh, yeah.
He said he'd sit around for the meeting.
He'll sit in the back and tackle us.
Just touch it. Just touch it. Play with it. Play with it for an hour. Learn how to operate it.
Careful, Debbie. He's a shady guy.
Were you able to get everything loaded up? Okay, we will call the meeting back to order. Chris, would you take the roll?
Council President Cardoza?
Here.
Council Member Christensen?
Here.
Council Member Boobin-Wanderhaar?
Here.
Council Member McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. Next item is we need to elect a council president. Do we have nominations?
I would nominate Brianna.
I would second that nomination.
Thank you.
Second and a third.
That's unanimous.
So I'm guessing there's no more nominations. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks.
Council President Brianna Boobin-Wanderhaar. All right. Now we have a part two of the consent agenda, resolutions on there. So is there any discussion or wishing to move any of those items or a motion to approve?
Mayor, this is what I get for being new. So I'd just like to ask how this works in full extent. But I would like to ask just a couple questions about RO2-2018.
So item two, C2. Yeah. All right. So let's, if you would, make a motion to move item C2 under – we'll put that under – we'll make it item 7B.
7B. Do I make that motion? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I motion that we move item C2 down for further discussion, item 70.
Second.
Okay. Motion's made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. And now is the rest of the consent agenda.
If nothing else, I move we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda as amended. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Item 5, community reports and requests. We have an update on the CUNA comprehensive plan from Lisa Bachman with JUB. Lisa.
Thank you, Mayor. I think Chris is going to bring the presentation up. Can you guys hear me okay?
Is everybody here okay? No?
I'll try to speak up. So I had two people hint at me that this would only take about 3 minutes tonight. I had planned about 5 to 10, so I'll shrink it down to 3 minutes. And then if anybody has any questions, then we can go over this. Seriously, Richard, it wasn't just you. No. So I'm Lisa Bachman with JUB Engineers, with Warren Christensen coming in new. I thought I'd kind of back up and give a little context that way. Agnew Beck and Consulting is the primary consultant on the comprehensive plan update process, and JUB Engineers is a sub-consultant. So we've been providing assistance with mainly the public outreach and some of the data collection and analysis. And so tonight what I'm going to do is give you an update on the listening and learning summary report, which represents the first phase of the comprehensive plan update process. There's actually three primary phases. So if you look at page 2 of the report, you can kind of see how the phases are broken out. And I also have it here on this display. Sorry, I don't have an easel. But as you can see, over the last few months, we've done a lot of public outreach. We had a web map where we got a lot of input from the public. We had a lot of advisory committee meetings, a public workshop. And this summarizes that information that we received from the public, as well as the data collection and existing conditions, statistics, that kind of thing. Phase 2, options and opportunities, is the next phase that we're kind of embarking on already. We've started on that, and we're going to be working over the next couple of months, diving in a little bit deeper on some of those issues and things that we heard from the public. And then from there, phase 3, that'll be the final phase, where we're calling that review, refine, and implement, where we're going to actually draft the comprehensive plan and get input from the public and get ready for implementation. So does anybody have any questions on where we're at in the process?
Questions for Lisa? Okay.
Okay, so I'm done. No, just kidding. So real quick, so I went over the process. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about what we learned, some of the key themes that we heard from the public. So pages 1 through 18 of this report represents the existing conditions analysis that was primarily done by Agnew Beck, and then we provided some support to that information. And then pages 19 through 30, the latter part of the report, is a summary of the public input and the priorities that we heard from the community, and that was led by JUB. So rather than going through each data point, there's a lot of numbers and things in this report, and you know it's a 30-page report. I'm just going to hit on some key themes that we heard from the public, and then if you have any questions about the existing conditions that aligns with that or supports that, just let me know. So I'll skip over that to kind of shorten my presentation. And so as you can see, we did a lot of public input. These first couple of pages of the report, the public involvement section, shows everything that we did. We had a public open house, football game, CUNA days. We went to the Senior Citizen Center and got direct input from them. And we got a total of 678 comments through that public involvement process, not to mention all the input that we got at the advisory committee meetings as well. So kind of an interesting breakdown of the public input that we got from the public, as shown on the page that's up on the screen right now, page 20. Transportation was the top topic that we heard about from the public, where they had concerns or questions or wanted to see some improvements. It represented 46% of the input. Quality of life issues, things like parks, recreation, that type of thing, was 27%. Land use was 22, and then we had another category for those miscellaneous comments that we heard, and that was at 4%. Another thing we did was a fun exercise with the community, asking them to describe in one word what they love about CUNA. So if you could switch to page 21, please. You see that graphic there? The largest word represents what we heard the most. As you can see, in CUNA, people value the people. The community aspect, the small town feel, the sports, Indian Creek, friends, family, you know, close-knit community type things is what everybody really values. Oh, and I don't want to forget McDonald's. That was another one that everybody really appreciated. Not everybody, but a lot of people appreciated McDonald's. It wasn't the smallest word in the Wordle there. So getting into specifics a little bit about what we heard from the public and how it relates to the data. Like I said, I won't go into the data stuff, but if you have any questions, please let me know. So if you could switch to the next page. This right here is a fun matrix. I'm not going to have you look at the whole thing, but if you could just look at the column that says priorities. We've sorted it by the different topics and how we received the public input. So transportation. The top priority that we had on that was overpass to South CUNA. That's a top priority for the community. Improved bicycle and pedestrian facilities, and attention and preservation of Highway 69, and then also expansion of 10 Mile, and really watching closely how that develops along those corridors and how we preserve right-of-way and access and to be able to also maintain traffic flow. And there's a lot, there's data to support those community goals. And then the next one, does anybody have any questions, I guess, before I move on regarding transportation? Okay. Quality of life. The main priorities that came out of the process, increased recreational areas, no surprise, diversified restaurants. It's interesting because all these things are currently happening. So what people are asking for, you know, I see a lot of progress going on in the community. So that's really nice. Increased emergency and public safety services and facilities as growth occurs. So trying to keep up with those levels of service for emergency needs as the community grows. Provide workforce development and higher education opportunities was another priority that was recurring. Any questions on quality of life? Well, within that, there was a recreational component, and we heard pool, recreation center, multiple times, repeatedly. So that was one of the main themes that came out of that, and expanding Indian Creek, and also looking at linking up with the Hubbard Reservoir and looking at opportunities there, as well as the Kuna Butte, and also the area around Strubble and Kuna Road. So moving on to land use, a lot of the questions that came out of this are, again, things are going on in the community. They'd like to see some increased commercial and retail infrastructure, a mix of housing types, residential homes. There's not as many, there's a lot of starter homes going on in the community, and there's a need for those that want to move on from their starter home into, you know, their second main home or dream home to be provided within the community. And so the idea there is to utilize larger lots for new residential development, but then also looking at ways to accommodate the young kids that are growing up in our community and need affordable housing and rental units and that type of thing. It's no surprise that I'm going to go into growth a little. I'm not going to refer to any page numbers here. But it's no surprise that growth is a big topic as it relates to land use. And one of the main things I wanted to point out there is while we're seeing some commercial growth in the community, a lot of that happening, we're seeing more building permit applications, more activity, obviously. But when you look at the tax revenue percentage as it compares to residential, it's still not keeping up with residential. So residential tax revenue is growing faster than the commercial. So it's lagging a little bit for revenue percentage-wise, which I'm sure that'll catch up in the next couple of years once that revenue starts generating, the city starts to see that. Another thing having to do with land use I thought was important to bring up is low vacancy, which, again, that's probably no surprise. In 2016, it was only 1%. So housing stock is full in CUNA. There's not a lot of vacant homes and options out there. We're building as we can try to accommodate people and their needs. Another cool aspect, which I know some of you probably have already heard in earlier presentations, is that the median household income in CUNA has grown quite rapidly compared to other communities. So we've seen a steady increase in that over the years, and that's kind of unique to CUNA. We're also a very young community, where we, you know, youngest in the Treasure Valley in terms of different age groups, and I can go into detail on that if you have specific questions. Let's see. I think those are all the main points that I wanted to make. Oh. And as far as growth goes, again, this is no surprise. Since 2000, we've quadrupled the population, and we're expected to triple in population between now and 2040, according to Compass's growth projections. So just a couple little things there. Any questions on the report or
questions for Lisa? Comments? One thing I will say on the advisory committee, I think we have 46 members, and I think we did a pretty good job of getting a diverse group. We have people from different agencies and citizens and businessmen and people from ACHD and Compass and Valley Regional Transit and some of those. So I think we've done a pretty good job of getting a mix of people so that our ideas aren't all from the same group and they're fairly diverse. So one thing I will say is most of the comments that we've heard on that are things that I don't think there's really much that surprised us. I think everything was kind of the way we thought it would be. And I'm really excited to get this done just because it didn't appear that our current comp plan really had the thoughts and ideas of the community members in there like it should. So excited to get this going.
Anything else as we move forward?
Mayor, if yes. I could have the floor. Lisa,
mm-hmm.
On the transportation issues, it looks like everything is running north and south. I don't see anything running east and west. Did anybody look at the Cunha Road going west, Lake Hazel going west as major corridors in the future?
Good question, Councilman Cardoza. So if you go to page 24 in your report, it's a map, and it shows all the transportation comments that we got from the community. It's a little bit hard to read, but that northern area of impact boundary, that's Lake Hazel Road. We really didn't get a whole bunch of comments along there. The same with Cunha-Mora. However, those corridors, those east-west corridors, have been identified as key corridors that we need to do kind of deep dive analysis on from the advisory committee and the other input that we've received. So we didn't necessarily get it from the mapping exercise, but we have heard that, and those are issues we're going to be looking into further.
Okay. Because I think Ada County Highway District in the future 30-year plan have a lot of traffic going to east and west there. So if we don't plan accordingly, we're going to be caught east-west. So
right.
Thank you, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mayor.
Further questions? Okay. And this is an ongoing process, so if other questions come up, please don't ever hesitate to let us know.
Yep. Exactly. We plan on coming back after each phase. So after the second phase, we'll do another touch base with you guys and let you know how that phase went and how it ties in with the first phase and moving into the final phase. So.
All right.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks. Very good. Thank you. The next item was 6A. Staff request this item to be tabled to the January 16th meeting. There was a posting date error made. So,
move we table the public hearing in consideration to approve 1711S for Marino Cove Subdivision to the January 16th meeting.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to table item 6A, the 1711S. Until the January 16th meeting. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 6B is a public hearing in consideration to approve 17-06-AN Annex and 17-08-S Subdivision for Wapiti Creek Subdivision. Do we have, Troy's getting the sign-up sheet. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Steve Arnold, 18 Land Consultants, 1785 Whisper Cove, Boise, 83709. I'll be speaking to you in your packet tonight. I wasn't sure if we were going to have a color rendering up there, but give you an overall idea of the project of what we're planning. It's approximately 15.8 acres. We've got 42 single-family dwelling units. They're ranging from about 9,000 square feet to just over 16,000. We're trying to hit that that lot size again that you've seen me repeat on other projects, kind of a larger lot with a step up to the starter home. Existing zoning's RR, we're asking for an R4, which is allows up to 4 units per acre. We're coming in at a fairly low density at about 2.65 units per acre. The current comp plan for the area calls for the 2 to 4 units. Some of the design considerations that we've gone into, we're providing a nice buffer along 10 Mile. As you can see, we're not proposing any entrance out onto 10 Mile. ACHD wanted us to take all of it off of the collector, which is better for the transportation system. So our main entrance will line up with the main entrance for the project to the south of us off of Ardell. The internal roadways we're doing as a reduced street section with a detached sidewalk with an 8-foot planter. So the section that we're proposing is going to be basically a landscape boulevard on either side of the roadway. There again, trying to do a step-up project where we've got basically a boulevard throughout the subdivision. We're extending the stub street from the subdivision to our north and east. That'll be coming into the site. That will be a 36-foot section, and we'll neck it down to the reduced section internally. Again, we're along the T lateral. There is a planned pathway. We're planning a pathway along it to be located within a 25-foot easement. That's on your master plan and pathway plan. We're talking with builders as we're going to do, we have done in other subdivisions in the past, where we put together the builder team and we bring that in, we manage the builders, manage the home style and construction of what's going in. The whole idea is to try to get that up next level of, you know, your mid-range home and not, again, not appealing to the starter home market, but trying to hit that up next level. We will have a architectural control committee that manages the building and what's built, along with CCNRs and an HOA that manages those. Basically, we're trying to hit that market that we believe that is in demand right now. I'm not saying that those smaller lots are not needed, but there is a niche in a market that for the larger lots that we believe there is a good market for right now. So with that, I'll stand for any questions that the council may have.
Okay, questions for Steve? Thank you. All right, this is a public hearing, so did staff want to comment? And Troy, sorry. I don't mean to leave you out.
It's just fine. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. For the record, Troy Buchanan, Planner 3, 751 West 4th Street. So the applications that you have before you tonight for an annexation for Wapiti Creek, and also a preliminary plat, 1706 AN and 1708 S, is presented for your approval or for your denial tonight. And hopefully, you've had a chance to review the packets. They've all been assembled for you for tonight. I'm sure that you have. As Steve mentioned, they're seeking annexation of this property into the city limits. It's just shy of 16 acres, 15.8 or something like that. Into the city of CUNA with an R4 zone. It does qualify for annexation because it does touch the current city limits on three sides. It is located at the northeast corner of 10 Mile and Ardell Road. And they are proposing up to 42 single-family lots. That what they're showing is larger lots to conform to the R4 zone. They're actually significantly under the allowed density. I believe you mentioned it's 2.6. The interesting thing about this project is that there's a project just south of that that has also come in. It's the Cazador subdivision. That developer, he is actually going to be working from the south of his property towards this property in at least two phases, possibly three. Staff would just recommend that Steve Arnold's client, that they're either conditioned to either work with Tim Eck on the sewer line alignment through his property, or that they take that sewer line out to 10 Mile and then south, because that's where the sewer is going to be serviced from. potable water, pressurized irrigation water, they don't follow the same gravity rules that that sewer does. Staff has worked with the applicant to get this application before you tonight. They've submitted everything that we've asked them to. They've even offered up dedicating that that pathway along the T lateral that he mentioned earlier to the city to continue on our master pathway and recreation path goals, which is to link all of the subdivisions together the best that we can. And this is going to provide a nice non-motorized pedestrian connection point. And then the HOA would then take care of that, but then it would be dedicated to the city. Staff would only encourage the council to condition the applicant to follow all of the staff recommendations, the common practices, the city codes and requirements for streets and subdivisions, for subdivision construction, and staff has every confidence that the applicant will comply. Staff has not received any phone calls or anything like that in opposition to the project, but it is a public hearing. Perhaps there's somebody in the audience who would like to speak of that, but we will go to that point. I will stand for any questions that you have.
Okay, questions for Troy?
Nothing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, this is a public hearing, so we will go ahead and open up the public hearing portion of 17-06-AM and 17-08-S. I had no one that signed up on the sheet. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify in the in this case? Yes, sir. All right. If you will sign up on the sheet here and then come to the mic.
I'm not sure. I'm in the Danskin area.
Which one? Danskin?
Yeah.
No, that's the next one.
Next one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyone that wishes to testify in this case? Okay.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing on 17-06-AN and 17-08-S. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. And the question is rightfully before council.
Well, based on the packet, it looks like the request is in compliance with the comp plan as well as city code. I'll personally mention that the larger lots with the kind of step up from starter homes have been a personal request of mine. That I'd like to see more of those, so I'm happy to see this project. I'd also note that Planning and Zoning Commission voted to recommend approval for the annexation and the subdivision request. So with all of that noted, I move we approve case number 17-06-AN and 17-08-S based on the facts in the report. And with the conditions of approval as noted by Planning and Zoning Commission and as noted in the packet.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? And that motion carries. Item 6C, this is the public hearing in consideration to approve 17-08-AN annexation for Danskin Ridge subdivisions number 2, 3, and 5. Richard Roach, city attorney. And Richard, would you hand this to the man behind you to sign up for the testimony, please? And that is the sign-up sheet if there's anybody else who wishes to testify in this case.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. For the record, Richard Roach, 761 West 4th Street. Before Council today is the annexation application 1708AN. It's the Danskin subdivision number 2, 3, and 5 for annexation into the city of Kuna. Danskin number 2, 3, and 5 consist of 33 lots. There is one other portion, Danskin number one, that's 22 lots that is not part of this application. The reason for this annexation is the 2, 3, and 5 are on a privately owned community sewer system that is non-DEQ compliant as it no longer has any location for the application of its effluent. This process started several years ago when Mr. Eck approached the city to work out a resolution to the pond and the purchase of some property that he was acquiring to develop, which is now under the development process to the east. So what Mr. Eck did was negotiate to acquire the Danskin pond, which is where the effluent is stored before it's land applied, for the sum of 33 connections that were obtained by Mr. Eck from the Osprey Ridge. So there's a $4,326 connection. So he utilized those to purchase the pond from the Danskin Homeowners Association. And in exchange for that, they put claimed him that pond, and now we're in the process of they're going to annex into the city. The 33 homes are going to hook up to city services and have their sewer then treated by the city. The process started with the obtaining of the 33 consent to annex, so it's a Category A annexation. All the property owners or the subsequent purchasers have signed or become aware of those through the title search process. The property was posted. Notice was published as required by law. Overall, the project is 37.6 acres. It's zoned R2. That subdivision is completely developed. So it's pretty straightforward at this point in time. It's just bringing those 33 lots into the city so that they can receive the city sewer services. We've had a number of meetings with property owners here at City Hall to answer those questions. They did have some homeowner, president, council type issues that they had to resolve, so we got those taken, or they got those taken care of, so now we're ready to move forward. And I will stand for any questions.
Hey, questions for Richard? So one thing with this is the city doesn't make a habit of forcibly annexing anyone, and that's the reason they went out and actually went to all the work to get the consent to annex. They do have a situation out there that will become dire soon, so I think it's in everyone's best interest that we go ahead and take those in. That actually does use up some more of those EDUs that we have out there, so. Okay.
We do, just to follow, Mayor, thank you. We do provide water to them, as you may recall, Mr. Cardoza. We purchased a well from United Water, now Suez, and they do get their water through the city services, so We do have accounts set up for them already for the utility, so it makes sense at this point in time that in order to receive the sewer service that they annex into the city. And it does, as you'll probably recall, there have been two previous occasions where they have doused their effluent into the city sewer, paying for that. The last time was this last late fall where they had received a notice of noncompliance with DEQ. They were going to be fined $10,000 a day because they were at the top of the pond and they had nowhere to put that water. So it is, on their side, it's a dire situation. They have no place to put it, and we have the availability. Mr. Eck is going to extend the sewer line up to the pond, and I understand that the engineer believes that that's going to be a pretty quick connection there to dump it into the system.
Okay. And we do have our city engineer here if there's any technical questions that you have.
Mayor?
Yes.
Richard, the we're hooking on to the sewer, the pond. So the effluent from all these homes will continue going into the pond and then being pumped to our north plant.
What we're going to do, sorry, I didn't touch base on that. What we're going to do is basically that valve is going to be turned, the connection is going to be made to the sewer line up to the valve that then goes to the property, the HOA's small treatment system in the subdivision. The pond will be disconnected, decommissioned from that. It will be drained, and then the city's going to acquire that pond as part of our pressurized irrigation system. So once we get that done, cleaned out, it will then become part of our PI storage facility system.
Okay, who is paying for the sanitation of the pond?
The developer and the city are, I can't remember what the amount that we have is, but there's a reimbursement. So we will enter into a reimbursement agreement with the developer as part of that conversion over to the city. So the representation would be then that 4326 times 33 as part of a reimbursement when we get that pond as a pressurized irrigation pond.
And that pond will service the north part of the city then?
Yes.
We're
trying to put those into one-mile sections. So that will
okay.
Saturday, yes.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Further questions?
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing portion of this meeting for Danskin. We have two people signed up to testify. Is there anybody else who didn't get a chance to sign on this who wishes to testify in this matter? All right, very well. Robert?
Yes.
Yeah, if you would state your name and address for the record.
Okay, my name is Bob Shaney. I reside at 8163 South Buffalo Creek Lane in the Danskin Ridge area that's being annexed. I'm one of the 33 property owners. On December 12th, 2017, I was elected president of the Danskin Ridge HOA. I, along with four board members, will be taking steps necessary to improve our financial future. Our eventual goal is to rebuild the funds needed to replenish our repair accounts that to date have been completely depleted. The purpose of my visit to the council meeting this evening is to provide you with some information about our HOA and its participation in the sewer project. The sewer project has been going on for a number of years now. It appears we are getting closer to the final stage. And I want to make it clear that I've only lived here since April of 2016. This was going on long before I was here. Up to this point, the HOA has been spending a lot of money to repair and maintain the existing waste treatment system, and as well as dousing requirements to keep the pond at acceptable levels. This is a labor-intensive and expensive process that we have been dealing with. We only have two sources of income as an HOA, and that is annual dues and special assessments when we get surprised by something or have unexpected expenses come up that we haven't budgeted. The property owners get really upset when a special assessment letter is sent to them for an assessment they feel is unfair. And they must come up with a fund in very short order. The HOA has that power, and they can force these things on the people that live there. Now for the main reason why I'm here. The sewer line that comes from the pump house to the pond is located near or in the possibly connected to a well that sits right on the edge of the pond. My prop. This is a 2-inch pipe. With the assistance of Mike Black from Blackwater, we will begin the process of exposing the 2-inch line sometime this week, possibly on Friday. He installed the existing sewer system and maintains the entire system along with all the pumps and the grinders throughout our subdivision. So he is most familiar with where the pipes are located. When we do go online with the City of Cuna sewer system, we will have to continue using our existing pump and grinder system to accommodate the smooth flow of waste to the City of Cuna sewer line. At the present time, there are no other options for our sewer system. The annex properties will have to continue paying the fees to repair, replace, and maintain the pumps and grinder system, in addition to monthly sewer fees that the City Cuna will be billing us for. In other words, our pump and grinder system will continue to convert the sewage to a liquid flow to your sewer system. There will be no solids flowing to your system from our subdivision. According to Mike Black of Blackwater, the pumps and grinders are rated to flow through 1.25-inch pipe. The entire system in place at the moment is a 2-inch pipe, so we have lots of capacity. The system has never had a reported blockage or interruption in flow, with the only exception of that being the failure of a pump or a grinder along the way. When the connection is completed on your sewer service, we will have to decommission the old sewer system. We are negotiating with Mike Black for a bid to conduct that work. This is another expense the HOA will have to contend with. Now for the issue I have with the sewer interceptor fee.
How much more time do you need?
Maybe 2 minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
The 33 annex properties will collectively pump their waste through the 2-inch pipe to your sewer line, as I stated. We will be connecting only one 2-inch pipe to your system. It makes sense to us that we pay only one sewer interception fee for the one pipe we are connecting to your system. Your fee for a single interceptor is $829 rather than the $27,350 you are currently planning on charging us. Our 33 annex properties are already constructed, occupied, and developed. These properties are fully developed, and there are no building permits for each of these properties. These residents have existing sewer lines that are not new construction. We know our 2-inch pipe system works as it has for many years now. Total fee of $27,357 for the 33 annexed homes to most of us feel to be unfair. And has been described as May with the money grab. We also have a pending expense of $3,500 for the engineer that will be charging for the plans that the city requires us to have in order to complete the connection between the manhole and the 2-inch pipe. We know that the city council has the authority to waive fees under difficult circumstances. I'm telling you now, our situation is difficult. And the circumstances don't appear to be getting brighter because we still have all these fees that we have to pay. These level of fees that we would have to assess on our properties would probably force some families to sell their homes and move. And that's a reality. And that's not pleasant for each side. I personally know one such senior resident that will have to make that decision if she receives any additional demand for more money. I respectfully request that each council member consider our situation and find it in your heart to help us during this difficult time. Thank you for your time.
Okay, and so just to clarify, you signed up in opposition. Are you in opposition of the annexation?
No.
Okay.
I'm just, the fee is.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Questions for Robert? Anyone? Okay.
Not at this time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And then next we have Sean. If you would just state your name and address for the record, please.
Absolutely. I'm Sean Chippewa, 8182 South Buffalo Creek Lane in Meridian and Danskin Ranch. I'm not in opposition of the annexation either, but I am in opposition of the fees that are going to be charged to us. I'm newly elected also. We just elected a whole new board, and I'm the treasurer. And I'll tell you that we don't have any money. You know, we have enough money to maybe get through September to just pay just normal upkeep in our neighborhoods. And so, you know, we really respectfully request that you consider
waiving the fees
for our neighborhood. We love where we live. We love that we're close to CUNA, and we love the hometown feel that we have there too. But we could use your help. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Question for Sean? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Let's go ahead and have you come up and answer before we close out the public hearing part.
Again, Mayor, Council, for the record, Richard Brooks, thank you. As you heard, they don't object to the annexation itself. The fees are the issue. Specifically, it's the interceptor fee that's $829 that remains the unpaid portion of that I mentioned earlier. Mr. Rack had contributed as through this exchange the value of a 4326 connection, so the remaining balance of that is at $829 per home. I would not recommend that we waive that. That's a per EDU connection that takes care of the system and the infrastructure. We have had some conversations, and we do have the authority to spread that over time, which is what I would suggest that we do, but we're really not at that stage yet. But when we get to that stage, I have mentioned that there is an ability to spread this over time on their utility bills, so the impacts last, because it is a hit that they're all going to have to pay. As I mentioned during my first presentation, it was a very dysfunctional HOA board for a long period of time without really managing this stuff. There's been a bright spot to all of this. It's got a new board in, and they're running it, and they've been really great to work with. However, they do have some financial issues that they have to deal with. Just ask that at that point in time, my recommendation to council would be that we enter into those agreements like we do on the PI hookup, where they can spread it over time and do it that way. So,
two questions: what's the maximum period of time we can spread it over, and when would the first payment be due? / Is there any ability to delay that if needed?
Yes, it's whatever council decides to do. So we could do. We're doing, what, 10 years, John? 10 years on the one, so obviously this is quite a bit less, but $829, it could amount to a few dollars a month on their bill. we could start it at a time certain that, say, we get through this process, they're all hooked up, they're on the billing cycle, and they can either opt to pay it, or we can say, you know, can you afford an extra $5 or whatever it is a month, starting at X amount of time.
Okay, further questions for Richard? Okay, is there anybody needs any other technical
Thank you.
Thanks.
Discussion on this?
Oh, Could somebody, either Rhodes or our engineer, speak to the, you already sort of addressed it, but the idea that Mr. Cheney mentioned in terms of there's only one pipe connecting, so should only one fee be charged, just so we can understand that a little bit better?
We've had that issue come up on a couple occasions, similar to a fourplex where they've asked to only pay one of the EDU fees, and we've said, no, it's per unit. Our code defines it as a per unit, per single family unit. Otherwise, we're going to get, start that precedent of the fourplex, the eightplex, just wanting to pay one because it all goes into one pipe that connects to the system. We can't control that. At what point do you then say this whole subdivision has one pipe going in that connects to the main line, and now all of a sudden we're saying that's an $829 connection? It's calculated. I think Keller did it a number of years ago to determine that infrastructure cost, and that came up as a per EDU. So because these are per EDUs, we should keep it that way. Otherwise, we open up Pandora's box.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I ask a question of Mr. Cheney?
Yes, you may.
Can you speak to whether you think spreading it out would be maybe a middle ground, if we could work with folks to spread it out over 10 or even more years if needed?
I mean, that's an option. But, you know, in my own mind, it doesn't make sense to me that buildings that are already built and have already, you know, had their permits completed are forced to start over again and pay a fee that the new construction, Richard mentioned something about a fourplex or something like that, and well, that's probably a new construction, and it would be four separate hookups. But we're an established community, and we, you know, it's a lot of money. Yeah, the payment plan would help some, but it just doesn't sound fair, you know.
You want
us to annex to you, and we're willing to do it, but we're getting hit with these fees right and left.
Yeah, and I think the point of that would be rather that, you know, now that you're coming into the city, now the city will be taking on the discharge of that system or that sewer into our system, and there are fees that we have to pay to upgrade and keep that system going. So whether you came in all at once now or whether you did that, I mean, had you done that one home at a time as that was built, it would have been the same fee. So.
Right. But
I get what you're saying.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense. I'm just trying to be fair.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right, so I believe that's all the public testimony we had. That's all we had to sign up, so you can have a motion to close that if you're done with it.
I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to close the public hearing on 17-08-AN for Danskin Subdivision. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? And the question is rightfully before council.
Rhodes, can I ask one more question? When would be the earliest that any money would be coming from the homeowners? In terms of the $829 fee, you mentioned that we're kind of early in the process. Those fees wouldn't be assessed just yet. That would happen a little bit later. So when do we anticipate those monies first being due, where we would want to start talking about payment arrangements and that sort of thing?
What will happen is the annexation about the same time, hopefully simultaneously, the developer to the southeast will have the line run up to the pond, and then the HOA will have the line run from their system to that valve that then connects and drops it into the system. At that point in time, they'll be working with utility billing to get these set up once they start receiving services. So probably best case scenario, and again, just a guess, is within 60 to 90 days.
Okay. And do we have the ability to, in terms of setting up payment plans, like delay the initial payment being due for some period of time if necessary? Or is it just we can reduce the amount of payment due but not? Does that make sense?
We can do, it's open on how we arrange it. So if we decide that by, let's say, July 1, you either have to have paid it or signed the agreement to be on the payment plan, and then on August 1 or September 1, that will be implemented, that payment plan. It really depends on how many people sign up for the payment plan and getting it into the system. I asked Mr. Marsh on that process, and it's adding it to it. We're benefited because they're receiving city utilities of the water already, so we don't have to at least set those accounts up.
Okay. Okay. I think that's it for me.
Mayor?
Yes.
Richard, the grinders and pumps, whose responsibility will they still be the homeowners, or will the city assume that responsibility?
They will still be the homeowners.
Homeowners Association.
Most of the homes have an individual grinder pump that runs it up to their treatment system that's in the subdivision, and then it's pressurized there, and I think there's a grinder pump there or a pump there that pressurizes it. Depending on if it's going to be pressurized into the system or gravity into the system, I don't know that. I haven't talked to the engineer. I'm not sure that during the course of their conversations if the city engineer discovered that process yet. But they will be responsible for the system within the subdivision from the outside of the subdivision at that property line to the city manhole and then beyond. The city will be responsible.
Okay. The grinders, they liquidate the solids in the effluent. Is that what they do?
And they pressurize it up to the system.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
I guess I do have another question for whomever might be best able to answer it. Am I correct that we do receive some benefit from the fact that the waste is pre-liquefied? I mean, I presume we wouldn't have as much of an issue with that passing through the membranes and things like that that we've had issues with before, or am I incorrect?
I think probably it's not much different than what comes through now because you're running a washing machine, toilets flushing with, without solids and that type of thing. So I think it's probably pretty similar. What we couldn't do is run straight clean water through there. That would be more of a problem. There was some contemplation of what to do if they run this water through there. That's what creates the problem. It's too clean for the system. But we don't have that situation with this.
Because am I misremembering? I thought one of the problems with the membranes before was like we had some type of
microfiber.
Right. And so it was, something that was being flushed and that was clogging everything up. And so I don't know if the grinder system would adequately liquefy fibers like that or if that wouldn't really.
That was, I believe, wipes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We put that second screen in that several years ago to the tune of maybe $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's taken care of that.
Okay.
I haven't heard that there's been any other problem. That was a design issue where too many of those fibers were going through the screen that they had installed and it was clogging the membranes. The secondary screen, I think, has taken care of that.
Okay.
Yeah, the pre-screen system has worked and stopped those fibers from plugging the membrane.
So no benefit from receiving liquefied waste versus semi-solid or some solid?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Well, we've closed the public hearing part of the meeting.
Okay.
Sorry. Further questions? Discussion?
I guess I have mixed emotions. We're talking $829 a home to hook on. We've got a plant that's worth about $28 million. The cost of it is phenomenal. I don't see we're asking the Homeowners Association to allocate $829 per home. We're taking on the maintenance from there forward. We require every fourplex, every duplex, every sixplex, eightplex to come on individually per unit, and that's what we're asking. We've got a substantial investment out there at the north at $28 million. I'd be against any kind of a other than a monthly payment included with your billing. I think it would just open a can of worms as far as if we allocated some kind of a plan to not bill individually. I think we would have somebody here every time a subdivision opened to make an exception. So I think the 829 is a very fair billing. I don't know what DEQ was going to require of you in your own waste treatment plant out there, but I would think the cost would be substantial just to meet what DEQ requires, knowing what we have to do out at our plant. I can give you that, and I think Paul, our engineer, might back me up, but I think we go through chemicals of about $15,000 a month out there. So, thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Further comment?
I agree with Councilman Cardoza. I feel sympathy and I wish we could do more, but I really do have concerns about what sort of precedent it would set, if there would be ways that subdivisions would be structured in the future to avoid having to pay connections for each house and just being able to pay for like a single line instead. I'm hopeful that we can structure something with each homeowner to make that payment as painless as possible. I'm certainly willing to extend that out for a significant period of time if that's helpful. I'm confident staff can probably handle most of those issues, but I'll just express on the record my support for, 10, 15-year extensions. I mean, I'm hoping that that drops it to basically like a dollar a month maybe, and I'm hoping that that might be something that's budgetable and more manageable, particularly if we can if we need to even delay that fee starting until or payment for that fee starting until maybe closer to a year from now. So I just want to express the city's willingness to work with you guys and try to help as much as we can, because I know it's just a crappy situation. The pun not intended.
Okay. Anybody else? Further comments, discussion? Okay.
Okay. I move we approve 1708AN with the conditions of approval listed in the packet, and just with a note to staff to be as helpful as possible in working with the residents on payment plans and duration of payment plans and things in that regard.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded, and then to approve 17-08-AN with the staff recommendations, and then allowing for the residents to sign up for the payment plan. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? And motion carries. Thank you very much. Item 7A, consideration to approve 17-05-LLA lot line adjustment for Thomas Nicholson, Jace Hellman.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Jace Hellman, Kena Planning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application for you tonight is for the adjustment of a lot line. This adjustment essentially consolidate two roughly 0.7-acre lots into an approximately 0.34-acre buildable lot. Both parcels are currently vacant. my understanding, the consolidated parcel would retain the address of the property that fronts South Ash, which I believe is 599 South Ash. If this application is approved, the newly consolidated lots would access public roadways along the frontage of South Ash. Staff would view this proposed action to be consistent with the surrounding land uses and the approved future land use map. And we'd like to just forward a recommendation of approval for case 17-05-LLA to the city, Keener City Council. And I'd stand for any questions you guys might have.
Okay. Questions for Jace?
Nothing.
Thank you very much.
Everything looks like it makes sense. So I move we approve case number 17-05-LLA with the conditions of approval as listed.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve 17-05-LLA with the conditions listed. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you. Mayor Council announcements.
7B.
Mayor, we have
7B.
7B,
sorry. 7B was takes us back to item C2 from the original from the second consent agenda. This was a resolution of the City Council of Keene, Idaho, authorizing the mayor to execute all agreements and contracts and the clerk to attest to the mayor's signature on all said documents related to the purchase of real property with an Ada County parcel number of R06115231178. And then you may have the floor, Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mayor. I was reading over this, just being new, I just had questions regarding just some of the verbiage in this. With it being a purchase of a real property, I was curious if by approving this resolution, would it mean that we're no longer discussing further like purchase dollar amounts, anything like that moving forward as to what this is for or what this entails? Just curious about that because there seems to be discussion about the value behind how much these things cost. And the way I read it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Richard or Mayor, regarding what it says is that once this is signed over, that things just move forward without any further discussion in regards to dollar amount. Or if we have a dollar amount on the purchase of the property or the usage or anything, what that is for. Did I read that wrong, Richard?
No, I think you're correct. Again, thank you, Mayor and Council. For the record, Richard Rhodes. So how it works in state law is we can acquire property and we can do that initial portion of it in executive session. So we can discuss the actual purchase and then when we come out of executive session and then we can move forward. Everybody that may or may not know that we're buying property can't go and bid it up, so we can't afford it anymore and we're trying to profit on it. So we've identified a piece of property. We have a purchase price on that particular piece of property. We have an appraisal on that property. This is just to sign a purchase and sale agreement so we can lock it up, and then we'll come back with everything else so that we'll be in earnest money, and we'll tie that up with the purchase and sale, and then we'll come back, and every step, council will know what's happening on this particular piece of property. But we've identified a piece of property that's beneficial and useful, unique to the city park system, so we're just working on acquiring that through the state law process and just giving the mayor then the authority to sign that document that should be prepared and finalized this week for buyer and seller signature.
And,
that
that said, we can't pay more than an appraised value, and this property actually is coming in less than what the appraised value was. So
excellent question.
All right, just a situation that the way it reads, it's like, well, here's a blank check, go do what you want, and then none of us know. But you explained to me how that works. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and so this one was actually discussed in executive session.
Oh, okay. That was me. Probably it makes sense to everyone else.
It was the last time we kicked you out before we brought you in.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true.
So the appraised value and everything then at that point has been discussed. People are online. Yes. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So if we're all good there, we need a motion to approve that.
I move we approve resolution number R02-2018.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve resolution R02-2018. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Mayor Council announcements. Is there anything anybody wants to announce-icate?
No.
All right. Otherwise, we have an executive session set.
I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code 74206F for the purpose of potential litigation.
Second.
And we will also need the representatives from Cougar Excavation in on this meeting. So,
okay.
Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you.
I think she's the president.